It's a three-hour show. We start hour number three on this Monday. Welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome. This show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So I'm doing what they pay me to do. I'm talking sports. I'm interviewing athletes, rolling a few telephone calls. But it is the last week of the year. A lot of you are already home for the Christmas holiday. So I said, let's have a little fun. So we're having a little fun. And part of that fun, believe it or not, was I said, let's have a little fun. And then I played some of Alvin's glorious Christmas music that he has produced over the year. And then this guy said it perfectly. At 115 USA tweets, nice mishit, Tobin. Perfect tweet, really. Extremely well said. I mean, that was a mishit. And it landed perfectly. Tobin trying to give himself credit for being one of the immortal flameouts. But at the same time, he got us to reset Alvin's last mix, which was 2011. And to hear Alvin's mix, the last one he had done since 2011, is just tremendous. So nice miss hit, Tobin. It's like he missed the club face altogether and still hit it dead straight. An awesome miss hit. Mark in Hollywood said, watching Alvy's face cringe on some of those really blue 10-year-old drops was like seeing your old, drunk Facebook memories pop up when least expected. It is true. It is true. I mean, some of those drops that we did things like that or things like that were permissible 10 years ago. Doesn't it make you wonder the kind of crap we got away with 20 years ago? Can you imagine what I was doing in the mid-90s on the program? Jamie in Green Bay tweets, after hearing the mix. It's skewed because you can go online and do whatever the hell you want. I'm talking about extraterrestrial radio, FCC requirements. And look how much things have changed in 10 years. Jamie in Green Bay, after hearing the mix, I think we're ready for the full Ray Buchanan freestyle to be reset. All right, now that's a really interesting point. Very interesting point. This was one of the greatest moments at a tour stop ever. Now, a lot of you don't know what the tour stops are. Back in the day, I used to take the show on the road, and it was not the actual radio show, but I would do like a stand-up act. I would go into whatever jungle market it was, and these were big-time events. Like in Sacramento, 18,000 people showed up. In Detroit, 14,000 people showed up. Like we would always get 10, 12, 14, 18,000 because it was free and it was fun and there was nothing like it at the time. One year, and we always had athletes, and big time A-list athletes would always come out. Ray Buchanan came to one. And this was, again, long before there was any kind of social media and the internet. So the only thing you knew about athletes and their raps, and when I say raps, I mean their ability to communicate and interview and, you know, interact with the press was what they did. There was not Instagram. There was not Twitter. There was not TikTok. There was nothing of the sort. So all you had was like sound bites and interviews that they did. Ray Buchanan was a great player with a great personality who had kind of a side hustle as a guy who thought that he could rap. I got him up on stage. We had not discussed it. And I just said, hey, man. And this is probably in front of 7,000 or 8,000 people at a tour stop. And I said, I know you think you can rap, Ray. What you got? Show me something. He's like, all right. And right off the cuff, at a tour stop, in front of 7,000 or 8,000 or 9,000 people, and if you were there that night, you can even call in and talk about it, Ray Buchanan did this.
7 years off in the pros, in case you didn't know, professional, at the dome, mobbing slow, play to win for real though, iced out from head to toe, not to brag, just let you know, studios, I drop my flow, on the field, you already know, who's the man, 34, Chi-Town, here we go, ATL, I made my dough, if you didn't know, now you know, Dialos, we banging son, Ray Buchanan has begun, dropping them things, flipping them things, staying the same, changing the game!
It was incredible. Like, looking this up right now, that was, if I'm not mistaken, that was at the Ice Palace, right? And a true jungle favorite at that time, the crime dog, Freddie McGriff. Fred McGriff was so nice. God, I love Fred McGriff. Loved Fred McGriff. But Fred was not going to get up there and drop that rap. If I'm not mistaken, my guy T-Buck came to that event. But Ray Buchanan, man, in all of his glory, just got up and did that without knowing that I was going to ask him to do that. What year was that? Was that 01? Joe in the OC, remember that guy? In 2008, during the smoke-off, he went with a parody smack-off. Not the smoke-off, that's Adam Hawk. No, the smack-off in 08, Joe in the OC, do you remember that guy? He came and did a parody of Ray Buchanan's rap. This is 08.
6 years up in the smack-off, Jeff in Phoenix, what a jack. On the phone, I got flow, smack to win for real, though. That's a job in radio, not to squeak, but just to let you know. Smack offs, I drop my flow on the phone, you already know. Who's the man? OC's Joe, sling box, here we go. Check TV while make my dough, watch J.R.I.B., definitely. T.T. the Brick, what a hack, come on, Rachel, shave your back. I'll be back, running that smack, taming in the lane, bringing my game.
Joe and the OC was a factor. Annually in the smack off. I wonder what that was good enough for. That did not win it, but that was strong. So, Ray Buchanan, man, he was fun. He was a blast. I used to love watching him play and talking to him. Let's go to the calls. 1-800-636-8686. Here he is, Jeff in SoCal. What's going on, Jeff? How are you?
Jim, I'm great. Hey, if you would have told me at the beginning of the year that Cleveland would be in contention and the Bills would win the AFC East, that would be the weirdest year of all time. So it's only fitting, Jim, that this is all happening in 2020. Hey, Jim, there's been a lot of chatter about the Bills this year, but I'd like to remind Bills Nation, at the end of the day, Buffalo gonna Buffalo. You can win the AFC East. You can get the number one seed. But when everything is said and done, the Bills are going to remember that they are the Buffalo Bills, and they're going to choke this season away, Jimmy. Now, their fans call themselves the Bills Mafia, but everywhere else they're just called alcoholics with mild learning disabilities. I mean, the entire fan base basically looks like Rick in Buffalo. And, Jim, Rick in Buffalo looks like he got kicked in the face by a horse every day for the first 5 to 7 years of his life. Now, here's what I want to do, Jim. I'm going to send Rick in Buffalo a tiny little jar. And no, Rick, this isn't like the urine test cup you use for your probation officer. Now, this jar is for when the Bills inevitably boof their season away, Jim. So, Rick, please, please, please take that jar and bottle some of those Buffalo fan tears up for me and then send them back my way. Jim, I'm just going to savor those tears all year long. Yum, 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 yum. Out.
As much as I hate to do it, I think I'm going to go ahead and rack that call. Jeff in SoCal somehow got through a call, and he got it racked. Tis the season. How harmonious. Jeff in SoCal, 1-800-636-8686. We are still having fun on this Monday. Three normal shows, and then the year in review on Thursday. And then I'm done through next year. Let's go to Portland, Brad. What's going on, Brad? How are you?
Hey, Jim. I'm doing great. Thanks for the vine. I'd like to debut my unfinished Christmas song on the jungle. Well, I think I might pout. I think I might cry. I think I might pout. I'm telling you why my in-laws are coming to town. They're drinking all my liquor. They're eating all my food. I can't even watch my own TV. I'm not in a Christmas mood. That's as far as I got so far.
Not bad, Brad. Not Brad. My man, you need to finish what you started. I like it. I like it. You left me wanting more. Always leave them wanting a little bit more. The number one rule in show business, always leave them wanting a little bit more. And the fact is, notice I'm not killing a guy for breaking out in song. He had the pipes. He had the lyrics. I'm the only one I know who doesn't hate their in-laws. Well done. I married into an amazing family. I've got amazing in-laws. Let's keep moving. We're having a good call segment. Don't screw this up, John and Little Rock. Don't screw this up, Big Dog. Let's go to John in Little Rock. What's going on, John?
What's up, Rom? I saw Brad with Corona with a meth pipe. He lit that bitch like dynamite. He said, homeboy, that is just the way that I get down. He rocked that pipe like dynamite. I saw Vic in NoCal with crack pipe. He lit that bitch like dynamite. He said the west side of Cali is where the best is found. He lit that pipe like dynamite.
John and Little Rock got to the end of that phone call somehow. Wow. Wow, I did say you can have a little more rope today. Because he lit that bleep like dynamite. How many times has John worked in crack pipe into one of his songs? Every time? I said you could have a little rope. So I've given you a little extra rope. 1-800-636-8686. Again, if, and especially now, because people are home. You imagine just kind of like being on your couch, click, 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 click. Who is that dashing young man there on TV? And what are they doing on that show? And what are these callers doing? You imagine if you just kind of dropped in out of nowhere, and this would be the week that could happen because people are home, and started listening to this, quote, sports talk show. You'd have no idea what's going on. Like, what kind of parallel universe is this? Who are these people? What are they doing? What are they singing about? Why is that guy singing on a sports talk show about crack pipes and bleeps like dynamite? And then maybe you dropped in the middle of Alvin's mix. Crazy. I do have thoughts on the Jets, which I've been trying to get to. And another, by the way, something I have not promoted. There is a wild, wild story, national story, about a 40-something-year-old dude who sued his parents. It's bad enough, right? Like, you see that whole Vanessa Bryant story? It's just so terrible, man. That's terrible. Put that aside for a minute. A story about a 40-something-year-old dude who sued his parents. Bad enough, right? Wait till you find out what he sued them for. Porno. Meantime, let's go to the phones. I said that if any of you were in attendance at that Tampa tour stop back in the day and have any recollections or memory, to hit me up. This guy might have. Let's see. Randall in D.C. Hey, Randall, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Jim. Yes, I was there. I was 15 years old in the audience that night, and it's still thrilling. It was thrilling to hear the remix afternoon with the clip.
Oh, that's awesome. So you were there. That's great.
Yeah, I've been listening to you for 23 years now, and this is my first time calling. Thank you for everything you've done, and happy holidays.
My man, happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Randall, thank you very much. That's a guy saying he was 15 years old, and he was at that event. Man, that's... I mean, I don't want to be like cheesy and cliche angle. That's what makes it all worth it. But I will tell you this. Now, you know what makes it all worth it? I can feed my family. That's what makes it all worth it. But you know what's cool? Hearing somebody call up and say, I was there, Jim. I was 15 years old. And I've been listening to you for more than two decades. And it was awesome to hear that. Were you at the Tampa tour stop? This guy says he was there. Let's go to Tampa. Brandon in Tampa. Brandon, what's up? Were you really there that day?
Rome, I was definitely there, dude. It was a great day. I used to call all the time, man. I've been listening since 97 when you really got syndicated down here in Florida. It's been awesome. Great day having all this nostalgia. But, dude, it was really cool because the year before, the Final Four was in Tampa, St. Pete, and you came but only could do, like, one little personal appearance. There was, like, a few hundred people there. I got to go to that one. It was at this, like, you know, restaurant, it was cool, man. But then the next year, you know, it was always the anticipation of the tour stop. And boom, Tampa gets the tour stop. Unbelievable. We show up, I bring my crew. It's like six guys because, you know, tickets are free. So we get the free tickets. We come, we go, we get loaded. We have a blast. Ray Buchanan drops the bomb. Rome, thank you. badass. You're the bomb. Love it. Love you forever.
My man, Rack and Brandon, you nailed that. I mean, that's exactly how it was. That's exactly how it was. There used to be such a big, big buildup to the announcement of who would get the tour stop. He nailed that. It used to be so awesome because you never knew who'd get it. And we would promote it and say, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. We'll make the announcement 3 days, 2 days, 1 day. Here is the next announcement for the tour stop. And it was always such a big, big deal. It was so much fun. He said, me and my crew showed up. It was free. We got loaded. It lived up to all the hype. It was great. Let's go to Clearwater. This guy also says he was, okay, again, we're talking about an appearance that I did in 2001. And I think there were probably 7,000 or 8,000. It was not the biggest event, but there were still numbers. And it's so great that on this random Monday in 2020, there are people calling up saying we were there. Because what that tells me is 20 years later, man, they're still listening. Mike in Clearwater. Good to have you, Mike. How are you?
What's up, Romy? Happy holidays to you and the crew, the XR4TI. I hope you guys have a safe and happy holiday.
You too, Mike.
Yeah, man. I was definitely there. Me and my buddy Will, shout out to my buddy Will. We got off work early. I think it was a weekday. It was like a Thursday, maybe.
Maybe.
And we got off early. We went to the Ice Palace. I think we had to go. We got, like, tickets printed out, if I remember correctly, or something. It was old school computer. They were free, but you had to get them from the radio station. If I believe the Crime Dog was there. If I'm not mistaken, was that the one where the lady was walking around with a Rack for Rome shirt
no.
or something on?
That was Cleveland. That was Cleveland.
But, I thought it was one of them, but it was a great time, man. We had a few pops. We got in there. It was super fun, and I was always like, man, I hope he comes back again. And we're still waiting for you down here in Tampa, Jimmy. Happy holidays, man.
You Take too, man. Happy holidays, Mike. Merry Christmas. That's great. I want to be very careful how I say this. But he referenced another famous tour stop moment. And there were a number of famous tour stop moments over the years. But Cleveland, and part of the reason why, and I love the Browns because I love the Browns. And I love the way they've built this thing out. Alvin, I'm aware of the clock. Just give me a minute. The clock! The reason I'm constantly hyping America's team is because I love America's team. And I love the way they built that thing. And I felt like something really exciting was going on. However, it really starts in, I love that community. And I kind of empathize with the fans there because they've had so much heartbreak. I mean, they literally have had people go into their chests and just rip their heart out of their chest over and over and over again. And Cleveland's always been extremely important to me personally and to this program. Because when we syndicated this show, as many of you know, it was self-syndication. We hit the road and we were grinding this thing out. It was kind of a grassroots effort. Cleveland was one of the first bigger markets that took a chance on this show. And when I went out there to do a tour stop for the first time, it was amazing. The love that I felt and the love for the program. And I never forgot it. This is why I will always go to battle for Cleveland. This is why whenever somebody wants to come in and talk junk about Cleveland, I always say, have you been there? How do you know? Have you met these people? It's a great place. It's a great town. They've got great people. The thing that he's referencing is our tour stop at Cleveland State. At Cleveland State University. I went there and the numbers were unbelievable. Now, I got to be honest. If you want to talk about the ratio of men to women at tour stops, it was not extremely favorable. I mean, the ratio was probably 100 to 1 or worse. So I'm up on stage and I'm doing my thing. And again, this was not a radio program. What I would do was, back in the day, I would get up on stage with a mic. And it was just kind of a Spartan atmosphere. There was a little bit of production value, but not much. Some lighting, maybe some signage. And I would get up there and I would just talk bleep. And again, this was pre-internet days. So if I let loose with a four-letter bomb, you know, that was kind of edgy stuff. And I'm up there talking bleep. And I'm in this arena that's sold out. And again, the tickets are free. This is why we could sell things out. They were free. But I'm sensing this. There's something going on at the very top of the arena. Very top of the arena. And I see it out of the corner of my eye. And I'm trying not to stop what I'm doing. And I think probably guys are giving each other the hands. A fight must have broken out. Because I sense it. And then I look up there. because it's getting louder and louder. And there's this gal, there's this female coming down from the very top, like almost from the roof. And she's sauntering down and she's got a shirt on. And the fact of the matter is, the shirt read, "Racks for Rome."
Rack him!
Let's just say it was an appropriate shirt. And she worked her way all the way up to the stage. All the way up to the stage. It was like some kind of jungle Morgana, the kissing bandit moment or something. You know, I'm the gentleman that I am. I handled that like the gentleman that I am. But that's what that guy was talking about. No, that was not Tampa. That was Cleveland. That was Cleveland. And we had three tour stops in Cleveland. Believe it or not, when I worked at Fox Sports Net, I've mentioned this before, there actually was an executive there. God, this was so far ahead of its time. I believe it was my guy, Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith was the executive that was in charge of programming at that time, and he was responsible for the show that I did. I mean, all the shows, but The Last Word with Jim Rome. And I believe that he was the one who said, these tour stops, man, we need to televise one of those things. We need to televise one. And they cut it up and they edited it, and but they put it out and they got it on air. It was a brilliant thing. And my guy Arthur Smith went on to become like a legend in reality TV and made a ton of dough, and good for him. But that's what that came from. I did not plan on this being a big nostalgia day. That was not the plan. Like, every day I've got a plan for the show, but every day I follow the show. And who would have thought that Tobin with his great miss hit could have gotten us going like that? I mean, Alvin really did with his songs. But Tobin, of all the guys in the jungle verse, one of the last guys I would have thought to make it better was Tobin. But he did. All right, let's get out. I've got Gerald McCoy coming up at 40 past. You're running out of time. But you clones did what I asked you to do. Have a little fun. Have a little fun. Today's been a blast. 1-800-636-8686. Stay tuned. More of the same. Gerald McCoy up ahead. The next segment will be very short. Keep that in mind. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
With Merrill Guided Investing, you have the option to work with an advisor at a low cost and minimum. Get started at MerrillEdge.com/investing goals. Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner & Smith Incorporated, both a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor, member SIPC. Every line is lit, which means either people are home or people are having fun or both. You know what's blowing me away? When I just kind of threw out there, was there anybody in attendance at that tour stop in Tampa in 2001, I think? And, I mean, so many people are calling up saying, we were there, Rome. And again, I think that was an event that had 7,000 or 8,000 people. Yet there's so many people calling up and saying, we were there, we remember, which is actually pumping me up. That feels great. It is a short segment, but I have time for a phone call or two, so let's get back at it. Let's go to Houston. Lori in Houston. Hi, Lori. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm great. What's going on?
I just was listening to the show because I am forced to do so at times when my husband is showering and he has his radio. And I heard you talking about the Tampa segment. And I actually took my husband there as a surprise for our anniversary.
Oh, wow. That is awesome. So what do you remember about that day?
Well, I remember that he's not easy to surprise, and he kept wondering where we were going, and I did not want to let him know. So I told him that a friend of ours was going to take some pictures of the Ice Palace and that we were going to go up there and meet him. And when we got there, of course, he knew what was happening and who we were going to see. So he was very excited about it, and it was a lot of fun because I don't think I had never seen you before. And now I see you all the time because he has you on all the time.
That is, well, I was going to say that's awesome. Probably not for you, Lori, but
I don't mind it.
All right.
I've gotten used to it. So, yeah, I don't mind it at all. So we're glad you're on TV. And I love hearing the radio when he's in there in the shower. At least I know he's learning something.
Good on you, Lori. Thank you so much, Lori. That's a great story. Rack her. All right. So Lori surprised her husband and took him to the Tampa tour stop at the Ice Palace. And she says, I'm still forced to listen to him listen to you because he's taking a shower and he's got the radio up loud. But I'm glad to see you on TV. Good times. A little nostalgia. We do have a little history on the program. I've done this a long time. We've done lots of different things. And I knew that people would be home today. And frankly, I knew they'd be home today and maybe enjoying a little holiday cheer. So I knew this would be a good day to have a little fun. I didn't know we'd have this much fun. A lot of stuff going on here. Let's go to Milton, Florida, quickly. Milton, Florida. Will in Milton. Good to have you, Will. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. And I just wanted to know, once this pandemic ends, would you like to go to Colorado? Drive around the mountains in the springtime. We can listen to guest hosts. I will drive. You can read your Twitter posts. Romy, Romy, tell me, Jim Romy, would you like to go to Colorado?
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Hey, Adam Hawk, what are you doing right now? Not your job. That's for... Ooh, that almost came out, man. Hey, put those headphones on right quick there, son. The hell was that?
The greatest thing ever.
Creepy.
That guy just called up and was like, I'd like to invite Jim to Colorado.
Oh, he did. All right.
All right. How would you like to do that? And he goes, I'd like to do it in song form. And I said, just wait 1 second, sir. And then he sang the song for me. It was amazing. And I knew we had to get to him. That was, without a doubt, the weirdest thing I've heard in a long time.
Pretty strange. I mean, it seems sincere.
Oh, everything about that was genuine and sincere, which is why it went straight to the front of the line.
You know, yeah, great, Hawk. Good looking out, as always, Hawk. Way to take care of your host. You know, Will, my man, it's hard for me to say this, but I got your back because I think that's not going to go well for you. But that seems sincere. No, I don't think you and I will be going on a road trip to Colorado anytime soon. Not during the pandemic, not after the pandemic. I probably will never enter the state of Colorado ever again. Just kidding, Will. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Man, what a day. Sorry that Gerald McCoy is going to interrupt the proceedings. He's an awesome dude. So I'm looking forward to that. Hey, listen, it is a short week. We can have a little more fun tomorrow, too. I will have my normal show. Well, I thought today was going to be a normal show. When we come back, a 6-time Pro Bowler, Gerald McCoy, will be joining us. That was Will in Milton, Florida, inviting me to go to Colorado with him. In song. Here is your sports update. I'm Jim Rome. As I mentioned, I never thought that I would utter this phrase. Tobin in Chapel Hill made it better. He just did. Ask Rit, because Rit was taking some. So I've got every single line lit. If I don't get to you today, we can definitely carry some of this over to tomorrow. Welcome back. All right, as promised, we're joined right now by a 3-time first-team All-Pro, 6-time Pro Bowler, 2-time All-American, 2-time all-conference player at Oklahoma. He was the 3rd pick overall back in the 2010 draft. I'm speaking of Gerald McCoy. Gerald, what's going on? How are you?
What's going on, Jim? You great?
Man, I am great. Big dude, I am great. Let me ask you. You and I spoke last in the springtime right after you signed with the Cowboys. So much has happened since then. So before we get into it, how are you? How is your life?
Oh, I'm great, man. Smiling every day, feeling wonderful. OU is Big 12 champs again, and they playing Florida. We get to try and get some get back from when we lost to them in the Natty. My rehab is going great. Knee is feeling wonderful. I'm in great spirits, brother.
My man, you always are. That's great. I could have said the same thing to you. You great, and I would have known the answer. You know, and so people really understand this. To hear that kind of energy and that enthusiasm is even better, because when you and I spoke, then in August, the very first day of pads with the Cowboys, you suffered a torn quadriceps tendon, and I remember how shocking that was. You're a kid from the south side of Oklahoma City. I know how much it meant to you to sign with Dallas. What was it like to suffer that injury at that time?
Oh, well, it was definitely untimely. You know, a lot of people were kind of upset or confused about why I got released. Well, to clear the air, before I signed, there was some issues, well, questions about my knee. So, you know, I was asked, like, would it be okay if we signed a waiver just in case this injury happens? And I was like, yeah, sure, because I had just played 16 games with it. You know, so we knew there was a chance that it could happen going into the season. Didn't expect it to happen that soon, but it did. So when the Cowboys, you know, let me know they were going to release me, there was no hard feelings. We talked about it beforehand, and I knew it could happen. So it just sucked because I was extremely excited to play for a team that I grew up watching right up the street. You know, but I have a lot of football left. My knee is feeling great. And I'm looking forward to the future.
And by the way, you were putting in a lot of work prior to that. I want to ask you one more thing about that. Like, you've done the rehab. You said your knee's feeling great. I do want to point this out, too. In August, back in August, you posted a video from the hospital after surgery. And you came out of there the way you are right now, man. So upbeat and so positive. But that was right after surgery. How were you able to come out of what you came out of with such a positive mindset?
Well, because I know that my talent and gifts are not mine. You know, God has blessed me to be who I am, and it could just as easily not be me. And with all the things we've seen in 2020, with all the people unfortunately passing and all the chaos we've had in our country and just so much negativity, man, you got to find all the positive you can with all the negative that's around you. So for me, I just look at it as, hey, this is an opportunity for me to get better. You know, there's no reason. There's people passing away from a terrible disease that we happen to have a pandemic for right now, and I'm sitting here having to deal with just a knee injury. Man, it could be so much worse. So I just try and find all the positive I can with all the negative that's going on in the world.
My man, here. Jerry McCoy is joining us. All right, so you're watching the season right now as you're getting ready to try and make a comeback or do what you're going to do with the rest of your life, but in terms of the season itself, like Kansas City, for instance, they're 13-1. They're coming off that win over the Saints. From a defensive tackle standpoint, how would you go about trying to deal with Patrick Mahomes?
Well, honestly, I think the Saints did as good as you can do. I know a lot of people are like, well, they put up 30 points. Well, yeah, they had to work for those 30 points. Mahomes was less than 50% completion percentage. He got pressured more than he has all year. He got sacked more times than he has all year. He got hit more times than he has all year. There is a handful, not even, maybe two or three guys who could have escaped the onslaught that the Saints sent at him, and they didn't even blitz him. That was just pressure from the front four. And Patrick Mahomes, showed why he's making the money he's making. And he worked through it and made some incredible plays. And at this point, it's just like, man, you just do your best. They double-team Tyreek. They double-team Travis Kelce. The one thing they didn't do, though, is stop the run. And Kansas City has been struggling to run the ball, but they ran the ball against the Saints, which usually doesn't happen with the Saints. So it's just they can do so much. They tough to slow down, man.
Gerald McCoy is dropping knowledge, breaking it all down. I like that. All right, so what about, I know you were starting Aaron Rodgers in fantasy this week. How do you go about breaking down film on him? Even at 37, what makes him so tough to deal with?
Well, one thing he said that he's worked on is obviously, I love Aaron Rodgers, by the way. He's my favorite player. I tell him it every time I see him, and I probably get on his nerves, but whatever, I don't care.
I love that.
So I study him. So one of his interviews, he said, one thing he worked on this offseason that he hasn't done in the past is his legs. His leg strength is still there. And his arm is, you know, before Patrick Mahomes, we had never seen anybody that could throw the football like that. maybe Dan Marino, a few other guys, but Aaron Rodgers had kind of separated himself with arm strength and arm angles and the different things he could do. But he said that his leg strength is what's helping him still be able to move around and throw. And as long as he got his legs on them, he could perform this way. You know, he the fastest to 400 touchdowns with the least amount of interceptions. He's hard to deal with. And he's such a wizard with his cadence, and he could pick you apart with anybody. I mean, in the history of dynamic and great quarterbacks, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers has the least amount of first-round picks. I mean, first-round picks that he's throwing to. So, I mean, he's just extremely dynamic. I think he's a top-five quarterback in history, in my eyes. I mean, I'm sure he got a little more work to do with other people's, but mine, he's generational, and I love watching him.
We're talking to Gerald McCoy. Great to talk some football with you. All right, so what about the young guys that are coming on and getting opportunities and making the most of them and making an impact right away? Man, you want to talk about a guy that can spin it. What about Justin Herbert? How impressed are you with what he's doing as a rookie?
Man, listen, I got a group message, and we were going back and forth about Justin Herbert from the beginning of the season, and I watched him play two games, and I said, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I've seen a lot of football in my life, and for a rookie to come in and play that can throw the ball like that and be able to be that size and move around like that, and then I watched Hard Knocks. He struggled in camp. And his last year wasn't the greatest, but he got drafted off his potential, and I think they made the right call, man. He's exceptional, and he's going to do nothing but get better. Their offense has a really good run game. The O-line will be healthy. They have a really good receiving core. They're going to get healthy on defense. Man, that team can be really scary with him at the helm. So I'm excited to see what the future holds with him.
Talking to Gerald McCoy. Gerald, let me ask you about something you tweeted earlier this month. You said, man, if watching Alex Smith do what he's doing right now doesn't motivate you, then something is wrong. Comeback player of the year, phenomenal story. I mean, you've watched a lot of football. You've played a lot of football. You've come back from injury yourself. What do you think of Alex Smith and a man that would go through what he's gone through and come back and make it all the way back? I mean, from a mental standpoint, what does it take to get through something like that?
Well, you asked me a question earlier about how I can be so positive. Look at Alex Smith. When I said there's so much negative and it could be a lot worse, look at Alex Smith's story, man. That dude had, what they say, nine, how many surgeries? 13 surgeries or something like that, man. And if you watch that documentary, you seen his leg was down to the bone, basically. And he worked his way back to actually starting, and for a few games there, he was playing really well. Now, he just got injured, and, you know, you pray all the best that he comes back healthy, but, man, to see him go through all that and the doctors to say, you know, you had a solid career, you probably should call it quit, to him telling them, no, I'm going to make my way back and not only be back cleared, but starting and actually helping his team win, that's incredible, man, and I draw motivation from people like that. And that's why I can stay so positive, because if Alex Smith is out here doing that and he's doing it with no complaints and a smile, who am I to be complaining and be down over a knee injury that happens? It's like routinely. This happens all the time. But what he went through doesn't happen all the time, and he went through it like a soldier. So, you know, hats off to him, and he's definitely comeback player of the year in my eyes.
Gerald McCoy, my guest. I know you got yourself a Peloton bike for the first time earlier this month. I love my Peloton. I've had mine for several years. How did that go for you? What's that been like?
I am not your typical Peloton bike rider. I'm 310 pounds, 6'5". You're not supposed to be on a Peloton riding with these, you know, much smaller humans. But what I will say is it has helped accelerate the healing process and me build a strength in my legs and my conditioning. Man, the Peloton is incredible. It's difficult, but I love it. I train hard anyway. So with me being limited with the type of conditioning I can do right now, the Peloton is really helping. Man, I've seen the difference from I took a week off to relax, and I just stayed at home and used the Peloton for a week and then went back into the gym today, and I felt the difference. Like, it's incredible.
I love it, man. Really, I love hearing it. That. I love hearing that. So, Gerald, what is the plan here, right? Like, you have been a dominant player for a long time. Is the plan to come back and keep playing, or are you going to dominate this next phase of your life where you end up in a studio or on a podcast or somewhere because you were really good at this, too?
No, I have a lot of football left in me, and I'm excited to get back on the field, man. It's like I get like this itch, and I told my wife, I said, when I lose that itch when I watch football, then I know it's time to stop. And my body is feeling great. My knee, there's no pain in my knee. I've been dealing with that knee pain for the injury I had. I had tendonitis, and my knee was really sore. For like 4 years, I've been dealing with knee pain. I have no knee pain anymore. All I'm doing is working on my strength and getting my speed back. And the mental aspect, I'm always studying. I watch the NFL replay. You can watch the coach's film. I'm still studying film.
I knew it. My man, I hate that we are out of time. That literally, Gerald, is the end of the program. Man, I'm so sorry about that. You sound amazing. You sound amazing, and I'm so glad that you're feeling as good as you are. Let you and I finish that conversation really soon, big dude. Gerald McCoy. God, love his energy. Love him as a player. Love him as a human being. Hate it to have to do that, but we are done. We got to get out. The Huge Call brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop by your local O'Reilly Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Y'all have a great day. More of the same tomorrow. See you then. We're out.